Hebrews 2, verse 17. This verse is what I'm calling a gospel in a verse. It has been such a blessing to me, this one verse of Scripture, as of late. So let me read it. Hebrews 2, verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. This verse breaks into three parts very naturally, as we see as we read this verse. And the three parts are this. The three parts are all about Christ. So we see in the first part the person of Christ. The second part, the office of Christ. And the third part, the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go through these three parts that this verse breaks into. First, I want you to look at the beginning of this verse, and at the very beginning we see the person of Christ. It says, therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things. He, that's Jesus, had to be made like his brethren in all things. And so, the implication here is that he is not like us. Jesus is not like us. And how is he not like us? Well, in two very basic ways. First, he is the second person of the Trinity. We're not deity. We're not God. So that's how he's not like us. Second, he never sinned. We have. So Jesus is God. Jesus never sinned. That's how he is not like us. Yet, the writer to the Hebrews says he had to be made like us. In what way was he like us? Well, look at your verse. He was like us. What does it say? Like his brethren. How? In all things. In all things, he was made like us. He's like us physically. He's like us emotionally. He's like us spiritually. Except without sin. That's right. So Jesus hungered. Right? Jesus ached with pain when he woke up in the morning. He went without sleep. Jesus knew joy and he knew sorrow, like we know. And Jesus was tempted to sin, and yet he did not sin. In all these ways, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, he is exactly like us. I want you to think of it like this, to borrow an illustration. If you were this week, you just got up the courage and maybe someone paid you some money and you decided, I'm going to go climb Mount Everest. If you decided to do that, you would want someone with you who knew the terrain, who knew the challenges, and someone who knew how to help you. That's Jesus. He knows the terrain. He knows the challenges. And he knows how to help you. Why? Because he is like you. But why did Jesus have to be incarnated? Why did the second person of the Trinity have to become man? Why did he have to be made a human like us? Well, in order to help us, Yes, but there's a more fundamental reason, and that's the second part of the verse. So second here, the office of Christ. We want to look at his office. We don't talk about this very often, about the office of Christ. But he had to be made like us. Look what it says, the second part of the verse. So that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God. What's his office? Well, what does it say? He's a high priest. That's his office. That's the office that he assumed. Now, the fundamental role of a priest, what is it? A priest, we don't have priests today, except if you're a Roman Catholic, right? But we don't have priests today like they did in the Old Testament. The fundamental role of a priest is to intercede for people when they have sinned. And so in the Old Testament, you had someone called the high priest. And what they would do is they would atone for sins on the Day of Atonement. A representative, this priest, he was a representative. He was bone of bone and flesh of flesh. Just like the people he was atoning for. And he entered the temple. He took an animal. He confessed his own sins and then the sins of the people. That was the role of a priest. And then he offered that animal as a sacrifice in appeasement of God's wrath. So that Old Testament background of the high priest tells us why Christ needed to be a priest. We need Christ as a priest because we too, just like the people in the Old Testament, are guilty. We have sinned. And so we need a priest to make atonement for us. But why? We're pressing further. Why? Well, Jesus was made a high priest, and it tells us here in the final part of this verse. It says he was made a high priest. Why? To make, look at verse 12 or 17, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. So Christ, in being made like us in the incarnation, he's the God-man, he's like us, he takes the office of high priest so that he might, third, and this gets to the work of Christ, we've looked at his person, his office, and now his work, that he might, what? Make propitiation for the sins of the people. You see, because of your sin and my sin, God is righteously angry. Righteously angry. His wrath is white hot towards us. Here's how Jonathan Edwards put it in his famous sermon. Oh, sinner, he says, consider the fearful danger you are in. It is a great furnace of wrath, a wide and bottomless pit full of the fire of wrath that you are held over in the hand of that God, whose wrath is provoked and incensed as much against you as against many of the damned in hell. You hang by a slender thread, with the flames of divine wrath flashing about it and ready every moment to singe it and burn it asunder. And you have no interest in any mediator, and nothing to lay hold of to save yourself. Nothing to keep the flames off of you, the flames of wrath. Nothing of your own, Nothing you have ever done, nothing you can do to induce God to spare you one moment. And so what Jonathan Edwards was saying is because of that wrath, God's wrath against us, we need propitiation. Now, propitiation is a big word. Who used that word today? Probably none of us. We don't use the word in everyday language. Propitiation means the removal of wrath by a sacrifice. The removal of wrath by a sacrifice. Removing wrath by a sacrifice. That's propitiation. So listen, God is unfavorable toward us, and we need to make Him favorable toward us. We need to get God on our side. We need to get Him to smile at us and not frown at us. How are we going to do that? Edwards says there's nothing we can do. The answer is that Jesus, the priest, makes a sacrifice. Remember, He's a high priest, and what do? Priests make sacrifice. And He makes a sacrifice, and what's His sacrifice? Himself. He is the sacrifice. He becomes our propitiation, our sacrifice to remove God's wrath. So you've undoubtedly heard the illustration of the gospel about the just judge. Okay, and it goes like this, if you haven't heard this illustration. A man commits murder, and he's found, and he's tried, and when he appears before the judge to receive his sentence of life imprisonment, just as the judge is about to lay down the sentence, he says, "I have mercy on you," and he gets down, he takes off his robes, and he steps into that murderer's place. Have you heard that illustration? Mm-hmm. Something like that? Well, this illustration, it really illustrates well the concept of substitution. Taking the place of a guilty party. The judge, the innocent person, took the place of this guilty person, the murderer. But the illustration fails to talk anything about propitiation, and I think the illustration is not very good at illustrating the gospel. For that reason, because it leaves out propitiation. You see, a judge, in our law system, a judge is supposed to be impartial and he's supposed to follow the law. So if a judge took the place of a murderer in our system, that wouldn't be fair. It wouldn't be fair. He's not following the law. Why? Because the judge is not the offended party, you see. The only person that can offer forgiveness to that murderer is the offended party. Whether, in this case, it's their family, right? Because he murdered someone. So to bring this illustration then more in line with the Bible, you can use this illustration. But to bring it more in line with the Bible, God is the judge. But God isn't impartial or neutral. See, that's where it breaks down. God isn't impartial or neutral like our judges. And in fact, He is the offended party. The murderer didn't kill the judge. The judge is neutral. But in biblical language, God is the judge, and God isn't impartial or neutral. He is the one who is offended. It's like we've murdered Him, the judge. So if we, you know, if we cheat on our taxes, if we cheat on our spouse, if we cheat on a test, all those sins are horizontal, but they're ultimately vertical, right? We cheat on God. We offend God when we sin.
And so God does take the place of the murderer. Jesus, God the Son, takes the place of the murderer. That's substitution. But he also does it as the offended party. How? God gives his Son as propitiation, as the sacrifice. In other words, God is the judge who has been sinned against, and God gives his Son as a sacrifice for the murderer. Jesus then is the sacrifice, and he's the one who offers his life as a sacrifice to God. He is the priest and he's the sacrifice. So let me put all this together. Try to capture all this biblical language, all this biblical meaning about propitiation. And I'm going to quote D.A. Carson. He says this. Listen carefully. This is so helpful. He says, God is both the subject and object of propitiation. God is both the subject and object of propitiation. God is the one who provides the sacrifice precisely as a way of turning aside his own wrath. God the Father is thus the propitiator and the propitiated, and God the Son is the propitiation. God the Father is thus the propitiator and the propitiated, and God the Son is the propitiation. Therefore, this verse, Hebrews 2:17, is the gospel in one verse. The gospel is that Jesus Christ in his person is the God-man, like us and unlike us. And in his office on earth, he is a high priest to make sacrifice. And he took this role for his glorious work, that of being a sacrifice, a propitiation for our sins, so that God's wrath would be turned into favor upon us. So to put this in one sentence, my one sentence summary of Hebrews 2:17 is this. The God-man priest propitiates the Father's wrath for our sins. That's the gospel. The God-man priest propitiates the Father's wrath for our sins. That, brothers and sisters, is glorious news. That is why you drove here tonight on Wednesday night, when it's super hard to come on Wednesday night because we're all so tired. That's why. Is to hear and understand a little more about what God has done for us. And I've just scratched the surface with this concept here, specifically of propitiation, that we don't think about this all the time, we don't use this all the time. But that's what, hopefully, you have a better understanding of what propitiation is, and you have a better appreciation for your Savior. You love him just a little bit more because of what he did for you and me. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for sending your only Son to become a priest, to offer a sacrifice of his own life, in order to remove your wrath that was upon us. Lord, we are so grateful for this salvation that we have, given to us by your sheer love and grace. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.